The 19th Gene Key. The transformational path of the 19th Gene Key moves from codependence to sacrifice, and it's the path of sensitivity. If you go to the theatre, or if you go out to watch a film, you know, a lot of the time the show you watch will utterly possess you. You become one with it as you're watching. You become absorbed in the drama, the characters, and the story. And we go through many feelings, anticipation, worry, fear, joy, and yet it's all an illusion. It's all fabricated. And if you go behind the curtain, there you'll find the director and the actors and the stagehands. Or if you're on a movie set, you'll see the cameras and the microphones and all manner of people and equipment. And you'll see many of them holding scripts. And perhaps you'll see the actors in their ordinary clothes practicing their lines. So many people and so much effort is being made just to trick you. And our lives are the same as this. We don't see behind the scenes. We don't realize that events are choreographed in other realms. We don't realize that we and all those around us are wearing costumes. We don't realize there are directors, there are stagehands, and a script. And sometimes the director and the scriptwriter make a spontaneous decision to change the script, and the whole thing is changed, just like that. It's an extraordinary trick we're living in the midst of. We're woven into a fabric made of dreams. And the reason we're so easily hoodwinked is because of our attachments, because of our codependence. We agree unconsciously to support each other's illusion. And on this earth, we're here to learn. This is a schoolroom. And eventually, we will learn to stand alone, which means we will have to break our codependence with everything around us. This is what happens when we die. And when we die, we suddenly awaken and we remember that this was all just a script. And you can look back and you can see how you did. And in the movies or the theatre, we see what other characters don't see. You know, for example, in Shakespeare's Othello, we see the arch-villain Iago plotting behind Othello's back, weaving his diabolical web of Othello's downfall. But Othello doesn't see any of this. He doesn't see how easily he's manipulated into his dark side. And so it is with us. There are forces literally pitted against us. And I don't say this to alarm you, but to open your mind and heart up to other dimensions. And these forces are the forces that inhabit the shadow consciousness field. You know, they'd like to exhaust all your precious life forces. Like vampires, they feed on our desires. And on the other side, there are the angels and beings of light. But they're more respectful. They only intervene when utterly necessary or when called out for from the depths of one's being. The universe is teeming with life forms, and they're all here alongside us. They aren't far away, and we're caught up in the web and in the drama. And this may sound like a naive tale to some, and I am anthropomorphizing. If you were a psychologist, you could say the same thing, but just use a different language. But I'm using kind of the language of the shaman, because it's more colorful, and also because I think it has more truth. Codependence is not just a psychological word referring to our relationships. It has subtle layers and levels to it. We feed other life forms and they feed on us. And the human aura emits a wide array of emanations on different frequency bands. So when, for example, you take a hallucinogen, you'll experience some of the other wavelengths. And when you get drunk, you'll experience some of the wavelengths. When you become embroiled in an argument, you'll experience some of the other wavelengths and dimensions. When you sit quietly by the side of the river, again, you'll experience another dimension. There are as many realms as there are humans and creatures, and this is the theater of Gaia. So what does any of this teach us? Well, for one thing, we're here to learn to loosen our codependence with the energetic environment in which we live. Our codependence is with our thoughts, our thought forms, our belief structures, our opinions. Our codependence is also with our own emotional patterns, our unconscious belief that we're a victim or that we can behave badly and get away with it. We never can. We can never do that. The bad one always pays. The good one is always rewarded. Justice is built into the script, but we just don't always see the full story. And the dilemma of this shadow, it's an odd one. It's heresy. And the heretic is one who breaks patterns, who speaks out against the status quo. The heretic is one who goes it alone, who's willing to shatter the fabric of his or her world in order to see more. And it's a dilemma because it takes heresy to break out of the world of codependence, to see behind the scenes. And often people think of themselves as heretical. We like to think we're open-minded, but usually we actually aren't. Usually we're very fixated with our worldview without realizing it. So there's a terrific self-awareness needed to escape the web of patterns woven around us by our karma and our incarnation and this 19th shadow. And some of the subtlest webs are the spiritual ones, carefully woven from the subtlest material. But a web is a web. We remain codependent. Heresy has to throw everything out. It can hold a worldview, but that worldview must be seen as limiting and ultimately false. You know, this jinky is about initiation. It's about opening our mind and our heart up to other realms, to other behaviours, dimensions and other possibilities. Our lives can be going in a certain direction, but the script can always change at any moment. So my role with this contemplation, this 19th way, transformational way, is simply to show you the extent of the illusion that we're living in. And my hope is that just from contemplating this deeply enough, perhaps a heresy will begin to grow inside you. The 19th gift, sensitivity. So I realize that that contemplation on the shadow may not have seemed so practical for you. It's one thing to say, yes, well, the world we all see is not the whole story, it's an illusion. But what do you want to do with that? No, I wanted you to really take that in deeply first. Because the purpose of this wisdom is to bring you into the world, not take you up and away into other dimensions. Please don't get caught in that trap. What the shaman learns is that everyday life is the full life. All the dimensions can be accessed and affected by your behaviour right now. Think about your dream life. Every night you enter the other world. You take off your clothes and you enter into the hinterland of consciousness. The borders of time and space soften. And yet you carry your day with you in there. Your day imprints your dream life and your dream life imprints your next day. There's a continuity there that's magical. And the gift of sensitivity is not to be confused with oversensitivity or hypersensitivity or even sentimentality. Sensitivity is strength. Oversensitivity is an affliction that's imprinted by the shadow frequency. And we can re-imprint any of these patterns given enough time and a deep enough sense of self-love and patience. So we can change these things. The 19th gift is a gift of healing. It knows how to heal itself because it knows what it needs. The 19th gift doesn't allow you to burn yourself out. It knows the secret of balance, how to feed your own needs and balance them with the needs of others. Sensitivity also grows. It grows as we grow. As we allow the heresy of a clear mind and a heart to penetrate our lives, so it will begin to loosen our attachments to the drama around us. Then we begin to move closer into life because we come closer to others. We lean into situations instead of trying to shun them or hide from them. Sensitivity actually makes us more human, more rounded, more wholesome. It makes you more able to deal with groups. You know, oversensitivity is the inability to be able to maintain your own integrity within a group. So sensitivity enables you to be with people. You know, we have to learn to parent ourselves. We learn to ask for support when we need it, and we have to learn to let go of resentments. Our sensitivity literally is our coming alive. It's our rejoining the human race. It's a settling into the family of creatures and all beings. You know, sensitivity, it feels like coming home. And many times we think of sensitivity as a problem that is more likely to harm us than be healing. To say that someone is a sensitive person even means that they may be quite emotionally explosive or reactive. And this is not anything to do with the gift of sensitivity. This is a gift of opening. Yes, up to other realms, but not in a way that is showy or overwhelming. The true sensitive doesn't become a channel. The true sensitive doesn't make any such claims. The true sensitive leans into you as a fellow human. They wait for you to open, and then if you are very lucky, they may share with you some of the things that they see and they feel. The original name for this 19th hexagram in the I Ching is approach. It's a beautiful, simple word. And the sensitive person, that's what they've learned, the art of approach. They know how to approach things in the right way. They don't rush headlong into a sacred space. They may linger at the portal. They don't rush to greet a stranger, but they'll allow that person to approach them at the speed that they're comfortable with. You know, the sensitive person doesn't talk so much. They're a listener. With animals, they know the whole secret is the approach. You don't instigate the touch. You wait for the animal to feel its own trust, and then you allow it to touch you. So if you have this treasured gift, first heal yourself. Learn to approach your life in a new way, in a way that's gentle and that meets your primary needs. And make sure that you're fed by life. This is your responsibility. It's yours, not someone else's. Codependence is when the relationship doesn't feel balanced. Your sensitivity instantly knows where the imbalance is, so you need to address it openly and sensitively. Sensitivity also learns fast. It learns through insensitivity. So we all do things and say things that hurt others, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not. And sensitivity is an art we have to learn. And when you've learned it, you feel so strong, so connected to life, but you also feel permeable and soft. And this is where the heresy of openness one day leads us. The 19th city, sacrifice. Heresy always leads to sacrifice. It always has done, and it always will do, until the day when the human mind has lost its power over our lives. And there are different kinds of sacrifice. There's the lower sacrifice, the self-sacrifice, where one gives away one's power for the sake of others. And this kind of sacrifice is not really healthy. If you damage yourself deliberately by serving another, there's no honour in that. But the higher sacrifice, it takes place internally. We sacrifice our lower impulses for a higher impulse. We fuel that which is highest in our nature rather than those impulses, natural though they are, that lower our frequency. So speaking ill of others is a good example. Most of us indulge in this behaviour. But you know, it doesn't bring us anything. At least that's how it appears. Through the lens of sensitivity, speaking ill of another person actually brings a harsh energy into our aura, and it comes back on us on a deep, subtle level. The path to the cities, this path, is a path of sacrifice. You have to sacrifice your negativity. You have to sacrifice your negative projections of others and even of the world. In fact, to reach the very highest frequency, you even have to sacrifice your positive projections. To move beyond good and evil, we have to step out of the drama altogether. This is to sacrifice our position as a player in the game. We observe our role in such depth that our role is loosened, and we become the consummate actor or actress now that we know the nature of the game. So the great sacrifice for the city is often not to speak. The city knows it is misunderstood. It's willing to be misunderstood. If you can see with absolute clarity and another cannot, how will you convey what you see to them? You know, we know that the 19th Jinki is about initiation. To be initiated means to undergo some form of sacrifice in which the being that you were is transmuted and then it becomes something new. And the great initiation spoken of in the 22nd Jinki occur rarely because human beings rarely reach a place of surrender at that level. And after each initiation, we go through a process of stabilization, which can last many years or incarnations. And as our awareness evolves further, it does so gradually. We have to be so very patient. Lifetimes pass with little change. We sit staring out the window at the seasons rushing by, at birth and death. We dress and undress our bodies time after time. We love, we leave, we lose, and we yearn. Most of us only have a few lines in the great play. And the great lives are so often unseen. Think about all the people who gave their lives for others without those others ever knowing. Think about those people whose virtue has shaped and improved the lives of others without anyone ever knowing their name. The greatest sacrifices are unseen. Think about your life and what you might be able to sacrifice for others. This planet is a planet of sacrifice. Everything is connected to everything else through sacrifice, through the chain of death and rebirth. The Ring of Gaia contains these three cities, the 19, the 60, and the 61, sacrifice, justice, and sanctity. Sacrifice discovers sanctity through justice. Whatever you give up, if it's truly selfless, justice will reward you and you'll discover the inner truth. The thing is, we humans don't see the full spectrum of justice. We don't remember our past incarnations, so we don't always see why things are the way they are. We have to find out for ourselves, and sacrifice is our greatest teacher and ally. It's going to be difficult for many to understand this city, even this gene key. It can only be truly understood by the one who's living it. But when you've done so, when you have given yourself selflessly for the sake of the whole, for the sake of Gaia, then you'll know. You'll pass through the great portal of initiation and you'll be forever transformed. Finally, the 19th city, it also says something about our collective future. Our planetary consciousness periodically moves through great epochs, and to move from one epoch to another involves always a great sacrifice for us all. And one day, another such transition is going to occur. To move into a new dimension, we're going to have to die to what we have been. And this is the coming of the so-called sixth race, our next epoch, in which the cities, all these cities, which now seem so extraordinary to us, will become ordinary. They will become our waking, everyday consciousness. And this I've spoken of and written about many times in the 55th Gene Key, for example, but it will come. And we are approaching that planetary portal. I can't say when because it's not been given to me to know. And if I did, I wouldn't say anyway. The time is not important. What is important is that we live our lives with honesty and openness. And we challenge our own perceptions of the world constantly. And the future will take care of itself. But for us, the now is our home, the present moment. So let's live in it to the very, very best of our ability.